Amos chapter 1, and continuing with our list of the surrounding nations as we build to a climax in dealing with Israel in chapter 2. We started with Damascus, which was the capital of the Syrians or the Arameans, pretty much the same piece of real estate that Syria occupies today. And the same city mentioned that Damascus is either the first or second oldest continuously inhabited place on earth, the other one being Jericho.
It's either Jericho
or Damascus. They can't make up their minds. For years it was Jericho, and then they went to Damascus, and I think they're back to Jericho again. But both very, very, very old cities. The next one is Gaza. Gaza, which is the same place that is Gaza today. The Gaza Strip on the southwest of modern Israel. Gaza was one of the five cities of the Philistines. And the Philistines did not have, each of the cities had its own king. It was a city-state arrangement, not too dissimilar from what the Greeks had. But each of the five major cities had a king over it. And three of the other cities are mentioned in the passage here. If you look down at verse 8, I will cut off the inhabitant from Ashdod, and him that holdeth the scepter from Ashkelon, and will turn mine hand against Ekron. The one that's not listed is Gath, which is where Goliath was from. But those are the five cities of the Philistines. Gath is not mentioned probably because it was ruined earlier. It either was not anything of consequence here or it was destroyed prior to this time. It was destroyed several times, each time rebuilt, but eventually they gave up. I think the Philistines is fascinating. If as you read Judges, as you read the life of David. Now, after David, it ceases to be a major issue anyway. But the Philistines were a big problem during the period of the Judges and during the reigns of Saul and David. And this is going on for well over 100 years. When the Exodus took place, if you remember going back to the book of Exodus, when the Exodus took place, they went south. They didn't hug along the coast. If you were to leave Egypt and you were to travel to the promised land, the quickest, the easiest route as far as just geography would be to go along the coast, because it's flat along there, flat along the coast, and you've got some streams and stuff flowing through. It's relatively desert, but there's streams flowing through from the highlands. And so you go along the coast, and you could, within a couple of weeks, make it to the promised land. They didn't go that way. And it stated why they didn't go that way. They didn't go because that would take them to the land of the Philistines, and the people were not yet ready for war. And they would want to go back if they experienced anything like that at that point. The Philistines were a non-Semitic people. They had probably come from the Greek islands, perhaps Crete. They came from over the seas. They were sometimes called the peoples of the sea. Their religion was different. This is also why they weren't circumcised. All the other nations that were around Israel also practiced circumcision. The Philistines did not. They had been there for a while. They came in several different waves. They were there when Abraham was around. But again, they did not have a big empire. At that time, they settled in that area. And one of the interesting things, if you go throughout the Arabian Peninsula area and the area along the eastern end of the Mediterranean, the Holy Land down to Egypt and that whole area there, in ancient times, their tools, their weapons and so on were all made of bronze. Bronze is an alloy of tin and copper. And there was a lot of copper a lot of copper mines in that area, the Sinai and down there Eilat today. There's still remains of copper mines there. They had a lot of copper in that area. Now, iron. Iron is stronger. Iron is more durable. It holds a better blade. As far as weapons and tools are concerned, it is a better material. It's not quite as heavy. Bronze is heavy too. It's a better material for those things. And when you have two nations going to war, and one has bronze stuff and the other one has iron stuff, the guys wielding the iron have a benefit and will often have, because it's lighter, it's sharper, it's less prone to breakage, and when they're going against each other, the guys with the iron have a big, big advantage. Out of all the people in the that were surrounding Israel from Syria south to Egypt, the only people that had iron during the time of the judges anyway, and probably getting into the time of David as well, were the Philistines. Iron was found in Europe. Iron was found in Turkey, but not further south. And so since these people had come from the north, they had learned where they had access to it, and they had learned how to work it. When Saul was king and the Philistines had control over Israel, at least in part, the Philistines did not allow the Israelites to learn the craft of being a blacksmith, because they didn't want the Israelites to gain iron weapons. So it says specifically that Jonathan and Saul had swords and stuff. They had probably purchased them somewhere or got them from some other place. But they just did not have enough of that material to arm the Israelites. The Philistines, numerically a much smaller group of people. They were along the coast, about the southern half of the coast of Israel, and inland maybe 20, 25 miles. It would pulse back and forth. But a much stronger bunch of people. Also, that territory is flat, and the Philistines could use chariots. This is one of the reasons why the Israelites did not, for the most part, use chariots. There were exceptions to that, but for the most part, they didn't use chariots because their country is like this, all right? You could only use them in certain places. The Philistine territory was flat, and so they used chariots. And so a lot of back and forth between these as you read Judges, as you read 1 and 2 Samuel. And until the time of David, with a few exceptions, the Philistines always had the upper hand. Even though they were a smaller people numerically, they had better weapons and a better situation as far as open warfare was concerned. So it says, thus saith the Lord, verse 6 of Amos chapter 1. Thus saith the Lord, for three transgressions of Gaza and for four, I will not turn away the punishment thereof, because they carried away captive the whole captivity to deliver them up to Edom. All right. Give you a little background here. All right. We have most transportation in ancient times. You had some stuff that was done by ship. But for the most part, you're dealing with caravans. And you're dealing with the road system. And this was true even up through Roman times. And even after that for quite a while. And if you look a crossroads for north-south, remember, you had to hug the coast for several reasons. One was that the further east you go, the drier it gets. You have Edom, which was extremely dry. Almost nobody lives in what was Edom today, because it's just painfully dry. The Edomites had all kinds of fantastic ways to get water. We'll talk about that when we get to them. North of them was Moab. Moab is east of the Dead Sea. Again, a fairly dry country, but it was also a high plateau, and so they got some of the rains that would bypass the go over the Dead Sea, and then the rain would fall on the plateau. And then north of there was Ammon. And again, the further north you go, you get a little bit more rainfall. They can grow some crops and so on. But dry country. You get east of these guys, any distance at all, and it is just desert, 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 desert. This is the stuff that they were driving the desert storm, driving the caravans across there. There's nothing. There's not even grass. There's no bushes. There's nothing. Just sand and dust. And so the roads would go north-south along the coast. Gaza was at a major crossroads. If you were going to go from the Phoenician cities, Tyre and Sidon, down into Egypt, you went through Gaza. And then also there was some east-west traffic. Went from Egypt and then across below Israel, through the Philistine territory, and then across over to Edom, Ammon, and Moab, and then to some of the Arab states, and then they go down to the Red Sea and pick up the shipping stuff that would be coming from further east for the spices and stuff that would come from Yemen, the frankincense and myrrh, and even stuff coming from India. So Gaza was an important place as far as crossroads were concerned. Now, something that is totally outside of our thinking for the most part. And I say for the most part because there's a little bit of stuff going on, but is a slave trade. People in ancient times, in this situation here, people were a commodity. People were a commodity. Now, we are dealing with nations. These nations that I've been talking about here, most of them are about the size of this county or this county and King County combined. I mean, they're not big, big countries. They're little countries. But they have their own culture, they have their own king, they have very often their own religion, and they don't like each other. They do have trade agreements and stuff, but by and large these people don't like each other, and all of them absolutely despise Israel. Slaves are a valuable commodity. Where can I get slaves? Where can I get them wholesale so that I can sell them on the market and make a profit? Where can I get slaves? Now, we don't have trains. We don't have big ships. We have feet. And these people would raid Israel. They would come in and they would capture a village and deport the entire population. They would capture them, take them to their own territory. The Philistines would do this. And then after they had inventoried and made the agreements and stuff, they would take the low road across, down through the Kadesh Barnea area, south of Israel, and take them up to Edom. The Edomites survived, for the most part, by trade. I don't want to get too much into Edom because they're going to be dealt with here. And they were the primary source of slaves. The market was for the Greeks, if you were going to the west, and the market was to the south to sell them to the Arabs that lived down in what is now Yemen, the southern tip of the Arabian Peninsula, where they did the spices and stuff, because they actually get some, there are forests in Yemen, there used to be anyway, there still are some forests in Yemen. And so, Edom was the crossroads. Edom were the major source of slaves. If you had captured a bunch of people and you wanted to get them off your hands and you wanted to sell people as slaves, sell them into the slave market, the Edomites were your people to go to. And the Philistines would make raids into Israel and they would capture a village, capture a city, and they would deport the whole population to Edom to be sold off as slaves, never to come home. Why? They hated the Israelites. Now, most of these people did not like each other, but they all hated Israel. The hatred lasted for centuries. You know, we in America, we are a new country. And you read about some of the civil strife that goes on in some places in Africa. You read about the civil strife that goes on in some countries, especially in southeastern Europe, a few places in Asia. There are wars going on between Kyrgyzstan and Tajikistan right now. They're supposed to be allies, but they're fighting each other. How long have they been fighting each other? Oh, hundreds and hundreds of years. And the Russians are preoccupied, so they can't, pull these guys apart, so they're fighting each other. These are former Soviet republics that are at war with one another. You don't hear about this too much. So, you deal with long-term cultural wars that have been going on between ethnic wars that have been going on for hundreds, sometimes thousands of years. The Philistines hated the Israelites. And any opportunity they had to capture a town, we see this under David. The Philistines have made a raid here. We see this under Saul. The Philistines have made a raid here. And they would come in, and they're not only looting, but they're also, because people are a commodity. They were in ancient times, and there's a few places where they still are. People are a commodity. And so we are going to capture people. We are going to enrich ourselves by capturing people and selling them on the market. And that's what the Philistines were doing. And so he says in verse 7, I will send a fire on the wall of Gaza, which shall devour the palaces thereof. I will cut off the inhabitant from Ashdod, him that holdeth the scepter from Ashkelon. I will turn mine hand against Ekron, and the remnant of the Philistines shall perish, saith the Lord God. Where are the Philistines today? Are they extinct? No. There are very few people that become extinct. Well, their language is gone. There aren't any, we could go around the room and say, where did your ancestors come from? Well, most of us can recite, well, I have some of this in me, and I have some of this in me, and some of the, we can go down the list of different things that where our ancestors came from in Europe or Asia or wherever we happen to come from. Nobody that I've heard of can say, well, I'm part Philistine. And yet there are people who are. There are people who are. There's one of the prophets that says that the Philistines will become a mixed people. That they will intermarry, and so much to a degree that their national identity will disappear. Their language will disappear. Their religion will disappear. Their ethnic identity is gone. That happens all the time. We don't so much think of that about that. I grew up in the Metro Detroit area. Okay, there we go. Loretta's from Michigan. All right. You've heard of Livonia. Okay, Livonia is a burb of Detroit. Do you know Livonia is named after a place in Europe? In the Balkans? At one time, there was a country called Livonia. They spoke Livonian. Anybody ever heard of this? Okay. You know why? Okay, I bet he would. You know why you don't hear about it? Other than Paul? Because they've been assimilated. The Livonian language is extinct. The people as an ethnic identity are almost gone or are gone. They've been absorbed by the Estonians and Latvians. That's where that was. So it's gone. And there have been probably hundreds, maybe thousands of ethnic groups that's happened to over the years. That's what happened to the Philistines. Are they still with us today? Yes. Certain components of the Palestinians and so on would be probably have some Philistine blood in them. By the way, just as a thing, you'll see this sometimes in your King James Version, where they'll talk about Palestine or Palestina. That's a mistranslation. It should be Philistia. The word Palestine is actually a poke in the eye at the Jews by the Romans. Following the rebellion, when Jerusalem was destroyed in 70 AD and the Jews were expelled from Judea, they turned it into a Gentile area. The name of the province, when the Jews were still there, was Judea. After the Jews were expelled, we got to come up with a new name. Well, the Philistines lived along the coast. We're going to Latinize it, and we will call it Palestine, which is basically Philistia. So when you refer to it as Palestine, you're referring to the Holy Land as Philistia. Don't do that. It's offensive, actually, to the people who live in Israel today. All right, so the Philistines are ethnically gone. Are the descendants with us? Probably. But ethnically, they're gone. Language, they're gone. Culturally, they're gone. They ceased to exist. That was a judgment because of what they had done for Israel. It mentions For three transgressions is before, so for seven transgressions. But the one they single out was the deporting of Israelites into slavery. All right, we will look at Tyre and, to a lesser extent, Sidon next time. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, the prophecies, the judgments that you had decreed on the nations have come about exactly as you said. Hundreds of years in advance, sometimes thousands of years in advance. And yet they have come about exactly as you have said. Father, thank you for the truth of your word, that what you say is true and it comes to pass. We pray for Christ's sake. Amen.